Let's go to Romans chapter 1. I want tonight, especially for those here who have never believed on Christ, I want you to especially pay attention tonight to the message. And I want everyone to pay attention, but you who have never believed on Christ especially. Now, you hear me speak often about the grace of God, the grace and mercy of God, by which He saves His people apart from our works. Tonight, we're going to be speaking about the wrath of God, by which He satisfies His justice upon those who are guilty and condemned by their works. And I have a long passage here. We're going to begin in Romans 1 and go into Romans 2. And so I just want to take it a little bit at a time and just go verse by verse. Now, the wrath of God is against men who reject the truth. It's against men who reject the truth. When I say men, you know I'm speaking of mankind. I'm talking about male and female who reject the truth. Even if a person does not have the Word of God, God's wrath is against those who reject the truth, even if they do not have the Bible, even if they don't have God's Word. He says in Romans 1:18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now you notice there we're talking here about men who had the truth. They had the truth, but we're talking about men here who did not have the Word of God. They didn't have the Bible. They had truth, but they didn't have the Bible. And he tells us here that all men by nature know God is. All men know this by nature. He says there in verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," or to them. That which may be known of God is manifest to them. "For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Everywhere, no matter where you live on this planet, you see God's creation. Everybody sees the things that have been created by God. The psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech." Every time the sun comes up and runs its course and goes down, it's uttering the gospel. It's preaching some truth about God. It says, "The firmament shows His handiwork. Night unto night shows knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." It doesn't matter where you live. You hear the message of God's creation. By nature, God's written on every man's conscience the truth that God is. Every man knows this by nature in his conscience. God's written it on his conscience. And therefore, when men see creation, they know His eternal power and Godhead. That's what God tells us right here. God says right here in our text, all men know that God is by creation. I don't care what men claim, God says all men know. They know that the things that are created did not come from nothing. Men know this in their conscience. And they all know the Godhead because they know God created it. They know His power because they see these things and they know somebody created this. God created this. God had showed it unto them in their conscience. And since you know all this was created, that means you know God's eternal, because He came before all this. And this is what men know by nature. So even though they don't have a Bible, they don't have the Word of God, men are without excuse, because all men everywhere have the light of conscience and the light of nature. When they see the things that God has created, their conscience says to them, God made this. God made this. Eternal God made this. And the way they hold the truth in unrighteousness, the way men do this, he said there, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. The way men do this is they worship man rather than God. He says there in verse 21, this is why his wrath is revealed. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, when they beheld him in the creation, and they beheld the light of nature and the light of conscience telling them God is and God's eternal and this is the power of his Godhead that made this creation. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Men that didn't have the Word of God, when they saw creation and they heard the voice of their conscience saying, God eternal created this, they went against that light. And they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They rejected the light they had. And by rejecting the light they had, their heart became dark. Totally dark. How so? Look at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Rather than professing God to be wise, they profess themselves to be wise. And when you do that, you become a fool. That's what they did. Rather than beholding God's creation and professing God to be all wise, they professed themselves to be wise and became fools. Rather than glorifying God, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. And they changed him into an image made like to corruptible man. They decided God was like a man and made him into an image like a man. They first only imagined this. It says they vainly imagined this, that God was like a man. Then they made an image that looked like a man and called it God. And then they made images of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things and called them gods. And for these reasons now, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against such men. He says there in verse 24, here's the wrath. Here's the wrath of God. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now the only thing God had to do to give them up to uncleanness was give them up to the lust of their own hearts. That's because we're all depraved by nature. All God had to do to give them up to uncleanness was just give them up to the lust of their own hearts. Take the restraints off. That's what God did. He took the restraints off. And let men do what was already in their heart. That's what he did. And the lust of a man's own heart was this, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now again, he reminds us why God's wrath was against these men. And he tells us here what God's wrath resulted in when he gave them up. He says, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. That's why. He reminds us again. This is why his wrath's against them. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. He gave them up to do what was in their heart. Here's what was in the heart. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. The reason for God's wrath is because man changed the truth of God into a lie. What was that lie? What was that lie? Man's free will and man's works. That was the lie. That was the lie. Man worshipped man. Man worshipped his own will. Man worshipped and served the creature. That means he worshipped and served himself. He worshipped and served men more than the Creator. I know it's common nowadays in our day, you hear homosexuals say, well, I can't help it. I was born this way. Well, indeed, it was in the heart. It was in the sin nature. It was already there. There's no doubt about that. Just like a murderer, it's already in his heart. And a child abuser, it's already in his heart. And any other sin, it's already there in the heart. There's no doubt about that. But the reason it came about is because God unrestrains it on a mass scale. He unrestrains men and gives them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart. That's why you see a whole nation, all of a sudden, the natural man thinks we're making great progress and everybody's becoming so accepting of this. But what it is God has taken the restraints off men. And the cause of him taking the restraints off is he's turning men over to reprobation, over to a reprobate mind. Because men have changed the truth of God into a lie and they've worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. It's because of that. You ever wonder here lately, you look at things and the way they have progressed more in about the past 8 or 9 years. Man's always been going away from God ever since we fell in the garden. We've always been becoming more and more corrupt and more sinful as a mankind. We've always done that. But here in the past 9, 10 years, you've seen it just on a quick scale and a large scale just go so rapidly. It's because in the past 100 years in this nation, all we've done is preach man and his goodness and his works and preach down God. And God's turned men over in reprobation. It's judgment. It's the judgment of God. And God gives men exactly what they want in their ignorance. Look here in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They didn't want to think about God and didn't want to have Him in their mind. God made it so they can't. He made it so they can't. Turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. That means just plain old ignorant. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, meaning men are going to have their way no matter what. Unmerciful. Some of these murders you see and parents killing their unborn children and killing their children that are born. Unmerciful. We see now every other week on the news some child walks into a school and kills a bunch of other children. Unmerciful. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So if you've asked yourself what's going on in our nation and in this world, this right here is what's going on. This is exactly what's going on right here. It's God's judgment. That's exactly what it is. Now, all of that that we just looked at is the wrath of God against men who did not have the Word of God. These were men that did not have the Word of God. These were men who were sinning against the light of nature. That's all the light they had, was the light of God's creation. But what about us? What about you and I who have the Word of God? We've got the light of God's Word. What about us? Now, when you heard all of those wicked sins and knowing the judgment of God, do you say in your heart that they which commit such vile and wicked things are worthy of death? Do you say that in your heart when you look at this catalog of vile sins? Look at Romans 2:1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, because you that judge do the same things. What does he mean when he says you do the same things? Well, when it comes to that list of ugly sins, that list of wicked, immoral, perverse sins, without a doubt, all those sins are in your heart and they're in my heart. All of them. Every one of them. All God has to do is take His restraining hand off of you and off of me, and you will do anything listed right there in that list of sin. Any one of them. If He took His hand off of us, somebody will say, well, I don't think I'm that bad. You are that bad. You are that bad. We're all guilty by nature. We're all inexcusable by nature. We're as vile and as wicked as the most heathen barbarian there is. We call ourselves civilized. We live in a civilized nation and try to look down our noses upon these heathen countries and places. There's no difference between us. In the heart, there's no difference. Go over to Romans 3. This is one of the points that Paul's making. Romans 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Who's he talking about, we and they? He's talking about Jew and Gentile. He's talking about, are we who have the light of God's Word, are we better than those that don't have it, that only had the light of nature, that sinned against God and God turned them over to do the things that you see going on in base nations where men do all these vile and wicked things? Are we better than they? Look at what he says. No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That means you've never had a good thought, and neither have I. Much less do anything good. Not anything. I'm not talking about good compared to what your grandma thinks is good. I'm talking about what God says is good. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Look down at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when it comes to all that list of immoral, wicked sins that we just read about, they're in my heart and they're in your heart. That means by nature we're guilty of every single one of those crimes. Every one of them. But now, go back with me now. But also, when he talks about these same things, When he says there in verse 1, he says, thou that judgest doest the same things. He's talking about back up there in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. He's talking about those same things. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever. He's talking about those kinds of sins. You know, in the Scriptures, the leper came to Christ, bowed down, begging the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on him. He came bowed down, begging the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, if you will, you can make me whole. But what is going on in most so-called churches today in this land is we've turned that around. We've humanized God. And we've got it to where now Christ has to come to you. And Christ has to get your permission. And He has to ask the sinner, if you will, let me do this or that to help you out a little bit. That's what's being preached to men. By telling men that you have to let God into your heart, and if you will give Him a place, He'll come and do this and that for you. That's making Christ to be in the position the leper's in. That's putting Christ in the place you and me are supposed to be in. That's worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. Paul called that will worship. Worshiping a man's will. That's exactly what that is. Religious people reject the righteousness of God in Christ and they look to their own religious works. They look to their own commandment keeping and these other things that they think they're doing that's pleasing to God. And the Scripture says, look at Romans 2 and verse 17. See, that's who Paul's turned to now. Now he's turned from these folks who the Gentiles, who the barbarian, he mentioned up there in Romans 1, he said, I'm a debtor both to the learned and to the unlearned, to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. Now he's turned from the unwise and the barbarians, and he's turned to the civilized religious folks. And he says here in Romans 2:17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and make your boasts of God. Verse 23, thou that makest thy boast to the law, through breaking the law, you dishonor God. And he's not saying that, now you just need to do a better job and start keeping the law a little better and quit dishonoring God. He's saying, even when you think you're keeping the law, you're breaking the law. That's what he's telling them. Everything you've done thinking you're keeping the law, you're breaking the law of God. It's a paradox, really. People are always accusing us of being anti-law or being without law because we preach the law is fulfilled by Christ and not by us. But the man who claims he's keeping the law and he's such a zealot for the law, he's really without law because he's disobeying God, trying to come to God by his law keeping rather than trusting Christ. He's got a lower view of the law than God's people do. God's people see the law. We see the law as holy, just, and good. And that you and I, who are not holy and not just and not good, can't give the law what it demands. And so we declare to sinners, Christ has to do it. He's the only one who could. If it wasn't necessary for Christ to uphold the law, God wouldn't have sent His Son. And so we have more of a zeal for the law than the man who claims to be zealous for the law, but he brings it down to a man's level. That's not wanting to see the law honored. You and I can't, we've never been able to keep the law, not before or after. So that's who Paul's talking to here. But now, even worse than what's going on in churches today, this is why I said I want you that never believed on Christ to listen to me. Even worse than men preaching law and works and will worship, even worse than that, You who are sitting here under the light of the gospel of Christ, who have the gospel in truth and have never confessed Christ, who never cast your care on Christ, you're sinning against a far greater light than what those in Romans 1 had and even than what the Jews had. Christ has come. Christ has laid down His life. Christ has redeemed His people. Christ has arisen. Christ is at the right hand of God. Christ has sent the gospel to this place. And week in and week out, you hear the truth of God preached and haven't believed on Christ. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. Every time a man hears the gospel preached in truth, that Christ is the righteousness of God, and he doesn't believe on Christ, he does the same as though who sinned against the light of nature. He does the same thing as the Jews who rejected Christ and nailed him to the cursed tree. He's sinning against a greater light. He's saying, I don't need the righteousness of Christ. I'm righteous myself. I don't need him. That's worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. Each time a sinner hears the gospel preached that Christ is the sanctification of his people, he's the sanctifier who separates out his people. He perfected forever them that are sanctified by his one offering. He's the sanctifier, and he comes and takes up abode in the heart of his child, and he is the sanctification of his people. And everybody who hears that message and walks out without casting their care upon Christ, they're worshiping, serving the creature more than the Creator. It's the same thing, doing the same thing. Sinner, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear everybody here hear this. You never know. You talk to people that never cast their care on Christ, but maybe there's somebody that professed to have done it that has never really done it. I don't know. But to us all, I say this, the wrath of God turned those men over to a reprobate mind. And every day that a person comes under the sound of the gospel of Christ and does not cast their care on Christ, lock, stock, and barrel, put it all in His hands and trust Him alone to be everything you need to bring you to God, every day a sinner doesn't do that, he's flirting with the wrath of God. He's flirting with God turning him over to a reprobate mind. That's a dangerous game to play. I'd rather see you playing with a cotton mouth than I would that. It's dangerous. Look at verse 2, Romans 2:2. We're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them would do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? I pray God save you from any sort of pretended goodness, any thought of thinking that you're good enough God's going to receive you like you are, because He won't. He won't receive us like we are. He won't. We don't even know the half of how bad it is. We need Christ. And that's what I pray. I pray He'll bring you to believe on Him. I pray He'll make you willing in the day of His power. And look at this next thing. God said of those men, He said when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Now here's the question God asked you and me who are sitting here under the light of the gospel of God. Verse 4, Romans 2:4. He says, or is this it, that you despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He said before, you just think you're going to escape judgment? Now he says, or is it this? You just despise God's goodness and despise the forbearance and the long-suffering of God, not knowing that it's this very goodness of God that brings sinners to repentance. Is this what it is? Is this why a man's not cast his care on Christ? What is the goodness of God? The goodness of God is that He chose His Son in eternity to work out the salvation of His people and to uphold His holy law, and He didn't leave it in my hand or your hand. He didn't leave it in the hand of His people. The goodness of God is that He sent forth His Son, and He was made of a woman, made under the law, made sin for us who knew no sin, made a curse for His people, all that He might make His people the righteousness of God in Him. That's the goodness of God. The goodness of God is that He sent His Son not to try to make salvation possible, but that He sent His Son for to accomplish the salvation of a particular people that God gave Him before this world was made. That's the goodness of God. And then He sent this gospel right here in our midst where it's being preached. Do you despise the goodness of God? Is that it? Is that what's keeping a sinner from casting his care on Christ? You despise the goodness of God? That's what unbelief says. That's what unbelief says. What's the forbearance and the long-suffering of God? Look here in Romans 3. I'll show you what the forbearance of God is. Look at Romans 3. He says, Romans 3:24, he says, we're justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You know, all those sinners who God saved under the old covenant, they were all saved through faith in Christ, just like sinners today are. And God was forbearing until Christ came and put away their sin. And now He's forbearing until Christ comes into the hearts of His people and reveals Christ in our hearts. He's forbearing. That means to bear with us beforehand. Before we know Him. That's what He's doing. And what's the long-suffering of God? Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's the long-suffering of God. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, talking about Him returning, but He's long-suffering to us, to His people. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me tell you what that does not mean. It does not mean that God just wishes and hopes that all men will repent and believe on Christ. And He's just wringing His hands and just hoping somebody will avail themselves of the righteousness He's provided. That's not what it means. It means everybody that God is willing to repent, they shall be brought to repentance by God, because He's not willing that they perish. God does as He will in heaven and in earth, and no man can stay His hand. No man can question Him. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. What God wills, He does. And you and I can't stop Him. So whoever God's willing to repent, God's going to make them repent. How do you know that's true? Because He says right here, He says, verse 15, you account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. That means everybody He's long-suffering toward, they shall believe. God's forbearance and His long-suffering is not towards the wicked. I know Romans 9 looks like that's what it says in one of the verses there. What if God willing to make His wrath known, and He endured with make His mercy known. He endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath made up for destruction. But His long suffering and His forbearance is toward His people. It's toward His people. The way He can forbear and be suffered long with us is because from before the world was made, He's always looked at His people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sees us in Christ, in the righteousness of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, and we've been accepted in Him from then. That's how He can forbear and be long-suffering. And everybody He forbears with and is long-suffering with, He's going to bring them to repentance. And so he asks us here now, are we just despise this goodness of God? We despise His forbearance, despise His long-suffering? Sinner, is that why you haven't cast your care on Christ? Don't be like those who despise the light God gave them and perished in their sins. Believe on Christ today. Believe on Him today. This is an urgent matter. I get a little bit put out when I hear, you know, theologians who have all their I's dotted and their T's crossed. And I understand God has to make a man willing in the day of His power. I understand that a man can't believe or even have life unless God, the Holy Spirit, gives him life and God grants him faith and repentance. I understand that. But we're talking about sinners perishing here, and I don't have a problem at all telling them, you need to believe today. You need to cast your care on Christ. I don't have a problem telling a sinner that. If my child was in a burning building, I know God's sovereign, and I know everybody He's going to save are going to be saved, and if it's not their time to die, they're not going to die, but I'm going to scream out top of my lungs, get out of the building! It's burning! And I'm telling you, this is a burning building. You need to get in Christ through faith. Believe on Him today. Because this is urgent. And not only this, we saw how those men who sinned against the light of nature treasured up God's wrath until He poured it out on them and gave them up. So listen to what God says to you here and to all men who have the light of His Word. Look at verse 5, Romans 2:5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, that's a hard heart that will not repent. After your hardness and impenitent heart, you're treasuring up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now get this, what this says, God will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, God shall give eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, God shall pour out indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But God shall give glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there's no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Look at verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. In the day of judgment, God will deal justly with every person according to our deeds. God will deal justly. He's a just God. Every man's going to answer for himself in all that he's thought, said, and done, and God's not going to be partial to anybody. There won't be any respect of persons with God. Those who trust Christ are those who do well. Those who believe on Christ. We're seeking the glory of God in Christ Jesus. He said there to them by patience, who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory. We're seeking the glory of God in Christ Jesus. We're seeking the honor and immortality that is in and by Jesus Christ, our eternal Redeemer. And to them, God says He's going to give eternal life. Why? Because we're free from sin and condemnation. Because we have kept the law perfectly. And there is no record of our sin on God's books. Why? Because Christ came and kept the law on our behalf and put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Scripture says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That by the grace of God, we might reign in life by Christ Jesus our Lord in perfect righteousness. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, that's those that despise the gospel of Christ, reject Christ, refuse to trust Christ, he says, God shall pour out indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish forever in hell. Because it'll be what the man earned. The man who sinned without the law will be judged without the law, and the man who sinned with the law, having the word of God, shall be judged by the law. Men think that God's going to come in judgment, and there's going to be a great scale, and God's going to put all your good on one side, and He's going to put all your bad on the other side. Well, let's just pretend there's a scale, just for the sake of picturing this. God's going to put all your wicked thoughts, words, and deeds on one side of the scale, and God's going to take all your thoughts, words, and deeds that are good, the very best you ever did, He's going to put them on the same side of the scale. And look here. Verse 16 says, and in that day, God's going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. On the other side of the scale will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, if we're left on that other side, our very best deeds are going to come up short of the righteousness we will need to enter God's presence. You don't want to come that way. God's not a respecter of persons. Men look on the outward appearance, and something outwardly about a man is what make men prefer one over the other. God does not judge that way. God judges looking on the heart. He looks on the heart. And His judgments are true and they're righteous. Look at Romans 2:28. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but He's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Except you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die under the wrath of God and perish forever in outer darkness, where you'll weep and you'll gnash your teeth all your days. I don't know what hell to be. But I know it's going to have something to do with knowing everything that you missed. It's going to have something to do with knowing everything that can be known about God and Christ and what He's given to His people. And you knowing by your own willful rebellion, you don't have it. Trust Christ. Believe on Christ. Those that don't are going to be cast out. Those that do. Those that trust Him. Those that are cast out will be cast out because it's just. And God's just. He gives men just what they earn. Those that are in glory will be there because it's just. Because we'll be given freely what Christ earned for us. And gave to us freely. This is the one thing there is in a man's life. Anything else he can get for free, he'll take it. But he won't take the gospel. He won't take salvation. He won't take eternal life. He won't take righteousness and free justification. It's totally free. You can't pay one thing. It's free. I pray God to make all of us willing cast our care on Him and trust Him, and especially you that's never done it. I pray for our young people. I've already seen some get old enough and leave. And I just pray God will save some of you before you get so wise that you become a fool. That's my prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that You'll bless it tonight, that You'll make it real and alive. And pray, Lord, that You would not let this just go by. We pray, Lord, that You'd plant it in the heart, that You would make it a tormenting thing until You bring that lost sheep to the feet of Christ. Oh, Lord, we pray that You would call out Your lost sheep. Forgive us, Lord, for being hypocritical. Forgive us for not mourning over our own sin more. Lord, forgive us for not loving and appreciating Your goodness and forbearance and long-suffering more than we do. Lord, make us to worship Christ. Make us to honor You in everything we do in our lives. And how we do thank You that You've given us this light, the light of the gospel. Lord, don't ever, ever let us take it for granted. Thank You for this place. Thank You for this word. Thank You for this people, our brothers and sisters. Thank You for using each of us to provide one another with this gospel. Thank You for our visitors, Lord, and pray that You'll be with us this weekend and we might have a pleasant time of fellowship until we come again Sunday. Be with us, Lord. Keep us and protect us for Your name's sake, for the honor and glory of Christ our Redeemer. It's in His name we ask these things. Amen. All right, Brother Eric.